The Partial Breakaway Podcast, with your hosts Nick and Junior and producer Vince, bringing you elite fantasy hockey information to help you win your fantasy leagues and win at life.
Episode 163 of the Partial Breakaway Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We are back as a whole, the three of us reunited after 2 weeks of duo podcasting, if you will.
I was going to say something about the whole, but never mind.
Vince, you're muted still.
No, I unmuted him.
How are we doing, boys? I know the Habs are losing here, 3-2, with a couple of minutes left in the third.
A little distracted.
The dreaded 2-goal lead.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least we're all staying hydrated here, and we're paying attention to this podcast because this is our bread and butter, where we actually do not get paid for this. I hope everybody had a good week. I know that we had our Battle Royale first week go pretty smoothly, other than a couple of hiccups with waiver priorities when there's not supposed to be any waivers. So I do apologize for that. It's been really fun. We watched two sweeps. Two teams got swept, one in the East, one in the West. Playoff hockey is so emotional.
Who got swept in the West, Nick?
The Kings.
The Kings are swept.
Oh, they got swept.
Colorado today, 6-1 or 5-1.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah, Colorado beat them in four, and Ottawa Senators lost in four to Carolina as well. We're going to obviously talk about that kind of stuff. And I think we are also going to finish we started on Fantasy Lens. And we're going to finish that as well.
Yeah, there's not much hockey news going around in the next few weeks, especially with playoff hockey going around. So we waited a few weeks because of our scheduling, but I think today we should be able to get through teams 10-1. We hope the Habs game goes in OT, but the podcast hopes it doesn't. So we're all concentrated on this podcast.
Yeah, just to reiterate what we're talking about here, it's Scott Wheeler's top 10 left of his prospect pool rankings. Go read it on The Athletic. We're just going to touch on the Tier 1 players again in order to discuss who is maybe fantasy relevant or more fantasy relevant than others moving into next year and so on and so forth. So for all dynasty leagues, prospects are the bread and butter of those leagues, and knowing who's coming up is very important, and especially not only what teams they come, what positions they have, what kind of opportunities they get in those teams. So Tier 1 fantasy players is it's going to be interesting.
Guys, I'm not distracted, but I just want to tell you that the Habs are going on a power play with the left.
Yeah. We should have not started this podcast.
All right, let's start. Are we doing like an on-man rush finally, or are we just going to ad lib it here?
No, let's do an on-man rush. Let's do an on-man. No, are we? How many topics do we have on the on-man rush?
We have no.
That was just I copied it just for something else. Don't look at the sheet. We don't have a sheet for this week.
Hey, don't look at sheets. I'm good with that. All right. Let's just do the music.
Imagine.
All right. Scott Wheeler's top 10. Who we got at number 10?
Who's going first?
I think you should, Vince, because you were more prepared than any of us during this episode.
All right. So at number 10, we have another team that didn't make the playoffs this year, which is the St. Louis Blues. So Scott Wheeler has them as the number 10 prospect pool ranking. Their biggest prospect, they have three guys in Tier 1. So one of them is recently drafted in 2025, which is Justin Charbonneau, right winger, 19 years old, from Blainville, Boisbriand, playing. The second one is Delorme Dvorsky, who had his stint with St. Louis this year. He was drafted 10th overall in 2023. And the third one they have is Adam Juracek, who is a right-handed defenseman. He's 19 years old, Brantford, and he was drafted 16th overall in 2024. Junior, who do you want to talk about?
Who do I want to talk about? Let's talk about, like, I'm most intrigued by Adam Juracek, to tell you the truth. Okay, I really want to know how good he can be. And, you know, I'll just give you a little blurb here of what Scott Wheeler said. Juracek plays the game with confidence and intention and has shown real ambition and even creativity at times against his peers. He has good four-way mobility, an active disposition. He also showed the pro level that he could simplify and play a more effective game and balance shooting mechanics. So, I mean, he's got all the intangibles, I guess, if you want to be an NHLer. Now, can he put that all together and have enough of an offensive boost to be really worth it in fantasy? I actually think he does. His brother is David Juracek, correct?
That
Who
is
was
correct.
Drafted
he is the
by
Adam
Columbus
is the younger
and traded to
David.
Minnesota. I actually like him better than his brother. So,
oh, no, he was drafted by...
What's going on?
Yeah, David Juracek was drafted by Columbus, traded to Minnesota, and then Minnesota traded him to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Jesus. I'm not watching, I promise. So Adam Juracek, I think that's definitely a defenseman to keep an eye on. I know Logan Mayu's in the next year, but if I had to pick between the two, I would pick Juracek.
Yeah, so Adam is projected to be like a number four D-man. Or second pairing D-man, with enough offensive upside to be relevant, right, in most leagues. So he also hits well. He also does all that stuff well. So just to give you an idea, I would want to talk about Dvorsky only because I traded for him in a package recently with producer Vince. And the reason I want to talk about Dvorsky is that, you know, a lot of people might start souring on him since he was drafted a few years ago already. It's about 3 years ago now. So the big question about Dvorsky is whether he'd be a center or a winger long term. He's gotten bigger. He's not the fastest skater. And he seems to be rounding out as a center with both defensive awareness and positioning. He kind of looks like a second line center as opposed to a first line center. But he can run, he'd have a role on the power play. He picks apart coverages when he has time and space. So he does have all of the traits to be a decent number two center. And I guess.
Who do you like?
He's going to get his opportunity next year. Dvorsky, I mean, full time. But if Robert Thomas is there, then he'll be sticking to the number two spot. I don't think he's ready, or if he'll overtake Robert Thomas. But he'll be a solid point getter for St. Louis in the up and coming. I was interested in Justin Charbonneau because I know we were talking about Habs drafting him, because before the Dobson trade, Habs actually had the pick where he went around 19th. Interesting, because he came from the Q, and unfortunately the Q isn't this high, like it's not well known like the OHL, WHL. Players that come from the Q usually don't go in the first. So for his name to pop up and come and get drafted 19th, I was really interested. He's a bit of everything. He can score and he can play make. He has the stature to play in the NHL. He impressed in camp this year with St. Louis. He was thinking of taking the college route, but then at the end decided to go back to the Q. At the queue, I think he's got 89 points in 80 games, which I mean, isn't
80 points in 60 games.
Oh, 80 points in 60 games. Sorry. So that's like very good. But once again, like Nick usually says, this is the junior. So we got to be careful with the stats that that these kids come out of from the juniors. But he'll be interesting because they say he's a hybrid. He can play wing or center, so he can be an asset to either Thomas or Dvorsky, depending on which route he's going to take.
And on Frozen Tools, he's got a prospect upside of 9 on 10, but his prospect certainty is only 65%. So it's really like he's either going to be really good or he's just going to be an NHLer without much fantasy relevance, you know?
All right, let's move on to the number 9 team, which is the Montreal Canadiens. So, Montreal Canadiens have the...
have 50 seconds left to score a goal, or they're going to be tied 2-2 in their series.
Yeah. Well, Jacob Fowler, who's sitting on the bench right now for Montreal, is the number 1 tier 1 prospect that Scott Wheeler has here. He's a 21-year-old goaltender drafted in 2023. He's playing Laval and Montreal right now. Then we have Michael Hage, the Michigan player who was drafted in 2024. He's returning to college one more season, which was announced at the end of this year as he wants to continue his studies. Then we have Alexander Zarovsky, who was the Russian player playing for Ufa, 19 years old. That was our last second-round pick in 2025. David Reinbacher, also a draft pick from 2023. He was selected number 5 overall. So that does it for our Tier 1. Oh, Bryce Pickford in Tier 2. That's sad. I wanted to talk about him. But
Hey, if that's what you want to talk about.
No, Tier 1. Let's go. We don't have all night.
Are you guys surprised Reinbacher is still in the Tier 1 category? Montreal Canadiens?
No, because I think a top 4 defenseman is tier 1 for Scott. Okay. I mean, we just spoke about Adam Juracek. Like, Reinbacher is still projecting at least as a top 4 defenseman.
And the thing is, he hasn't necessarily been bad. He's just been injured. So I think that too kind of extends his leash a little bit.
Also, guys, for fantasy relevance, I don't know if Reinbacher is really going to be a fantasy point getter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe we should just skip over Reinbacher and move on to some of the other guys that might be more fantasy relevant on this team.
So, sure. Fowler, I think we all know about Fowler.
The listeners might not know.
So, Jacob Fowler basically in Habs eyes is that he can become the next what Carey Price was for us for so many years, which is a top elite goalie prospect. He's doing he's gaining his stripes by playing in the AHL. Unfortunately, because of our Russian roulette of goaltending this year, he was kind of forced to come to the Montreal Canadiens and play with the Habs because of multiple season and Dobish's ups and downs. I would have liked him to have stayed in the AHL and played in the AHL. But in the NHL, his first few starts were a bit erratic, where he was a bit, they call them the swimmers. He was a bit all over the place. But once he got comfortable and into his fourth, fifth game, you saw that he has those ice veins where he's calm, collective, doesn't panic under pressure. So it's looking good for Montreal. It's just, when is his time to come? I still give him about 2 years before he's ready to be that number one guy in Montreal. I'm not sure we can wait 2 years, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, I think Dobish is doing a great job so far. There's no reason for us to rush Dobish out of the building.
Yeah, but Dobish has also shown that
Yeah, exactly.
As a starter for 82 games, it's not. It might not be his thing. Next year, it seems to me, it's going to be 1A, 1B between the two of them. I don't think Fowler's starting the season in the NHL.
If Montembeau's still on the team, Montembeau is still on the lineup.
They'll release him. They'll buy him out. It's done.
Look, Dobish has won the number one role right now.
Fowler's sitting on the bench. Montembeau is,
For sure, Dobish has won. But the problem is Dobish hasn't shown that he can be consistent in the NHL.
Well, he's a rookie.
Yeah, it's true. We forget about that. We forget about that, yeah.
Like, I don't know what goaltender you think that is going to show that he's consistent in the NHL in a rookie season. It doesn't happen. It's not. The Carey Prices are once every 35 years that these guys show up. I don't think Fowler is a Carey Price. I don't think that he'll ever turn into a Carey Price, but he could be a solid number one goalie for a team in his prime. The problem is his prime is about 3-4 years away. So for now, I think having a 1A, 1B with these two young goaltenders is a great way to go. And they build with the team, right?
And according to Dauber Prospects, his fantasy upside for Jacob Fowler is 9.
Absolutely. That's crazy. Yeah. And next guy on the line is Michael Hage. You want to talk about Michael Hage Jr.?
Yeah, no problem. So Hage, I know like a lot of people are super, super, super excited for Michael Hage. A lot of the Habs fans did not want him involved in any possible trade. And I get it, you know, especially after the World Juniors he had playing with McKenna, he showed really good flashes of being a number one center. I think when the dust settles and it's all said and done, Hage is a number two center. Now, I think he can still be efficient. I think he's at the right place to learn and develop to his strengths, which is like what you really want as a prospect, is you want to be able to develop who you are as a player rather than try to change who you are to fit a system. You know what I mean? And the Canadians do a good job of actually taking your strengths and applying it to what they do. They don't try to make you change your game just for them. So he's in the right place for all that. I'm just trying to get you here. His blend of a little blurb from Scott Wheeler, his blend of skating, skill, scoring, playmaking, and sense is hard to come by and noticeable in every game he has played this year. And he goes to say that he's a big fan and so on. So, look, a lot of people are high on him. I think he is going to be fantasy relevant. Number two centers are definitely fantasy relevant. He looks like if he ends up, you know, staying with the Habs and being with the Habs when he develops, then this is going to be a high scoring team for a long time. And his fantasy upside on Dauber Prospects here is 8.5 on 10. His prospect certainty is 8. So, I mean, there's low risk drafting a guy like Michael Hage in your fantasy dynasty leagues.
Yeah, yep,
I'm comparing Hage with Jaroski in hockey prospecting, and they actually have Jaroski being a higher star probability of 49% than Hage. Hage as a star probability is only at 18% right now. NHL probability, Hage is at 81 and Jaroski is at 84. So they're both NHLers that are going to be in the Habs lineup sooner than later. But it's just interesting how Jaroski has the higher star probability than Michael Hage does.
So sorry, Nick, before you go, just because I want to show people how like everyone has their opinions of these people, and even the pros don't necessarily agree all the time. And if you look at Dauber Prospects, Jarovsky's fantasy upside is 7.5, but his prospect certainty is only 5.5. Then you compare that to what Vince just said, and you're like, okay, so who is Alexander Jarovsky, you know?
Yeah, so different models will have different takes, right?
Exactly.
And Alexander Jarovsky is a highly talented winger, only 19 years old. He is all-time U19 scoring record, surpassing names like Evgeny Kuznetsov, Vladimir Tarasenko, and Kirill Kaprizov, which is pretty nuts, right, when you put these names out there. He's a little bit lean, needs to gain some weight, 6'2" frame, but he's a pretty good skater. He can sometimes get in trouble drifting a little bit, but all kinds of top six gifts and it's rare to find a player with his talents outside of the first round. Montreal got him in the second round. So he looks like he's going to be another top sixer, which is great for the Habs. And once again, you gotta kind of tip your hat to Nick Bobrov, who finds these Russian players that nobody else seems to look at or doesn't. Nobody else seems to care about them as much, and find a way to get the right ones over into his system. So the Habs are looking good, sitting at ninth, and they still have a very competitive team already. And a very young, they're the youngest team in the playoffs right now. So it's great to see that they might actually be a good team for a long time with all these prospects coming up. Shall we move on to number eight?
Yeah, Junior. You're going to go number eight, Junior? Eight,
yeah. The Philadelphia Flyers sit at number eight. They only have one player in Tier 1.
It's a big one. He takes enough space.
He takes enough space that you ain't need anybody else in this Tier 1. Porter Marton, guys, this guy seems to be, I don't know, like we already were super high on him. I think the three of us. We can go back to our prospect rankings if you want, if you don't believe us. But
good job, Nuge.
This little stint with the Flyers plus this playoff stint, I showed everybody exactly what tools he has, how good he can be, and that he's already ready for the NHL and to be a prominent player in the NHL. So I'll hand it over to you, Nick. Porter Marton, what can you tell us about him? I know you were really, really hoping to get him in a trade there. That didn't go through, but...
Yeah, he was one of the guys that I was really focusing in on. As a prospect, like I wanted a high-end prospect for one of my high-end players, but finally the GM decided to keep Porter Marton, and he's already paying dividends starting this playoff series already. Marton is physical, he's skillful, he knows where to be, how to score. He seems to somehow not be the fastest necessarily. But he gets better and better with every level that he goes up. So according to Scott Wheeler here, Marton has a ton of prestige, and basically you're looking at a guy that's going to be a top forward in the game. Skill, hockey sense are real, and the consistency of his effort level brings toughness, and toughness have developed over time. He's one of the top four prospects in the game. So, I mean, what more do you want to say for Porter Marton? Can you give me his fantasy upside according to Dauber Jr.?
9. And his prospect certainty is 6. This was as of March 29th, 2026.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Yeah.
And you would have thought you like I was a little worried because of the World Juniors that he had. He didn't have an extravagant World Juniors, right? So I thought, okay, so maybe, you know, the moment is getting to him and stuff like that. But then he steps into the NHL and he doesn't skip a beat. He's in the playoffs, doesn't skip a beat. Gets points, gets goals, throws his body around. So he's going to be a real big deal in Philly. So they've got a very good young team that's manhandling right now the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs.
Yeah. All right. I think number Junior, 6. You should lead off in number 7, Seattle Kraken.
Seattle Kraken in Tier 1, they have my boy Berkeley Catton. At number 2, they have Jake O'Brien. I'm starting to realize I have a lot of Seattle prospects. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, at some point, one of them is gonna become an offensive powerhouse at some point.
I sure hope so. So they have two players in Tier 1. Berkeley Catton, 20 years old, from Seattle. He was drafted number 8 overall in 2024. I think Nick and I had him like top 4 in our fantasy prospect ranking at the time. Yeah. Jake O'Brien from Brantford, 18 years old, center. Also drafted 8th overall in 2025. Vince, which of the two are you? Do you agree with the ranking of 1 and 2, Catton and O'Brien?
Well, and what Seattle has, yes. I think Patton stock might have suffered a bit this year, playing in the NHL, 17 points in 66 games. Some people thought he might have come in there and really proven that he can be that point getter, goal scorer that they want him to be, especially on a Seattle team where the opportunity was there. The problem is, as a young player, if you're not well surrounded sometimes, it hurts your ability to demonstrate what you can do. So I still think Kattin is going to be their number one centerman when we're talking 5 years from now, because our podcast is going to be so big that we're going to have billions of listeners listening.
And billions.
But I mean, like, you don't get 116 points and 109 points in the WHL. Imagine in the WHL, the offensive talent is there. It's will. To me, it's not about Kattin. It's about Seattle. Will Seattle surround this kid with the right pieces to make him succeed? That's going to be the biggest question.
I find in the WHL, if you don't have point per game at a minimum, you're never going to make it to the NHL.
Yeah, at a minimum, man.
At a minimum. At a minimum, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everybody in like the WHL seems to have 150 points, you know, in 82
games.
Yeah,
it has to be 2 points per game. Games, but you know yeah, 2 points per game or it's a failure.
Guys, Jake O'Brien is... I'm going to talk about Jake O'Brien a bit here, but you know what, Junior, you're going to have to start talking about people too, eh?
You're the one who told me to go again.
Yeah, okay, you can still talk about people.
Yeah, for sure, go ahead.
All right. Jake O'Brien was OHL's Rookie of the Year after playing to above point per game and leading all rookies in points and assists. He's a finesse player. He's a little bit small. He has tons of skill, but he's got to grow into his body. He's got to mature a bit. He's a June birthday, so that kind of shows that he still has time to kind of develop. And he has top six forward written all over him. He's probably going to be a number two center on this team. I mean, things could change, but that's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, he's probably going to, like, maybe number two center, but number one power play.
Yeah,
because he's too good of a playmaker not to be on that top power play unit. According to Frozen Tools here, oh boy, Jake O'Brien has a 9 on 10 for fantasy upside and a 7 on 10 for prospect certainty.
That's pretty good.
Berkeley Kattin, the exact same thing. 9 on 10 for prospect fantasy upside and a 7 on 10 for prospect certainty.
Well, you know what? For our DPR league, we don't need Kattin. We need O'Brien. So,
yeah. And to touch on Vince's point of Seattle being a bit of the problem here, it's not a. They're so starved for offense that they might have rushed Berkeley Kattin a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And, I agree with that.
And on top of that, when you bring up such a skilled forward, you want to play him with other skilled forwards because they complement each other. They kind of understand each other. Sometimes, even if you're the youngest player on the team, you probably process the game in a way so, like, in such a advanced way that others maybe don't follow suit. So it makes you look bad in the end more so than it looks the other way around because you're the youngest and you're a rookie. But there's still time on Berkeley Kattin. I wouldn't be demoralized just because it hasn't looked good so far.
Okay, let's do number six, which is the Utah Mammoth, and then we're going to do our little break for our sponsor right after this one. Are we good with that?
Very good.
All right, so I'll introduce the Utah Mammoth. They are sitting number six in Scott Wheeler's 2026 prospect pool. Very good article, by the way. You guys should go read it, and I'm going to repeat that multiple times because we are using his information here in order to create our podcast. He has number one, Tidge Ginla, 19 years old, from Kelowna, BC. Guys, Tidge Ginla was also number one on Craig Button's list out of all prospects in the NHL that were drafted. He sees Tidge Ginla as the best out of all of them, including better than Frandell, better than some others like Mikkel Misa. So just to give you an idea, this guy has clear top six scoring upside, ton of tools, and he's going to score a lot of goals in the NHL. And that's music to any fantasy manager's ears. Goals, goals, and more goals. He was selected number six in the 2024 NHL entry draft. And he's a threatening individual creator who can create in knifing bursts and works quickly to put defenders in their heels, attacking on angles and jumps. Great instincts, jumping into gaps and coverage to get open for his line mates. Like, this is everything you want, right? He has the IQ. He has all the stuff that you kind of want in a player. And he is the number one prospect for Utah. Sorry, I don't know why I went in and I just continued talking about Tijiginla, but Vince, why don't you talk to me a little bit about Caleb Desnoyers?
So I'm comparing both these players with the hockey prospecting tools, and you'd be surprised. As a star probability, Tijiginla right now started at 21 is down to 11%. And as an NHL probability, he started at 61 and he's at 76%. Kalib started at 53%.
Are you on a
down...
first name basis with this guy now?
Yeah, exactly.
Kalib. Kalib. Desnoyers, man. Desnoyers.
It's because I see this Desnoyers. Desnoyers. Okay,
Caleb,
so he's at
not Kalib.
He's at 37. Caleb, exactly.
Caleb
Desnoyers. He's still higher than Tijiginla at star probability at 37%, but NHL probability he's at 82% and staying steady in the 80s. So it's going to be interesting how they feel these two players, because I mean Utah already has a really young team. I mean, they got Keller, they got Cooley, they got Genter. Like, these guys are not coming off at the top six anytime soon. I mean, people thought they were going to get walked over in the first. In the first round of the playoffs, and they're leading the Vegas Golden Knights 2-1 in series. So I just don't know if these guys are going to be assets for them to trade to get what they need, better players or higher players that they need in other positions, or if they're going to bring them up when all their players are making that big money and they need those ELC contracts in their system. But I just find Utah, there's not much space to work there in the top six. They just re-signed Schmaltz also, so that's already four players out of six that are in that top six.
Well, Junior, can you tell us a little bit more about Desnoyers himself? Like,
I think Desnoyers is very underrated as a prospect. People see him like as a two-way almost, you know, with some offensive punch, but the guy's got crazy good hockey IQ. He's quick. He's got all the tools. He's actually really, really skilled. But because he plays center and because he gets assigned to double responsibilities, if you will, people assume he won't be that super fantasy relevant. But the reality is he is. He is going to be fantasy relevant. He's going to be really good. And if he could just add some muscle, because he's a little bit small in terms of weight, and put all that together, then he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. So here, just a little blurb from Scott Wheeler from his article here. Desnoyers is a good size center with room to add muscle. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Do you think he'll be a centerman in the NHL? Do you think he'll be a centerman in the NHL?
Yeah.
I
think so.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
If he will, he'll be the number second centerman they're looking for.
But like, you don't have to worry about which team he's going to play with. He's still not close enough to the NHL to really focus on that. At the end of the day, when you're drafting for fantasy purposes, you just want the best prospects out there, regardless of who has them in their prospect pool. Because by the time they're ready for the NHL, they might not even be in that team. Or players like Schmaltz might become third line centers and fourth line centers by the time they're ready. So you're good enough. Exactly. The opportunity is going to open itself up.
And, always draft for skill and
exactly
and hope
and hoping that they'll make their way there. Exactly.
Yeah. You had a blurb,
you guys
want to
go on team number five? Yes, you
interrupted Junior. So
I was just going to add here. While he's not a dynamic skater, individual creator, I see plenty of skill and have seen him make plenty of high skill plays, including a Michigan goal and a ton of hockey IQ. Quick hands, plays tight in traffic, and he's a better skater than his older brother, Elliot. If he can add a little bit more pace and muscle, like I was saying before, he's going to have a long career as an important center who distributes to winning, who contributes to winning on good teams.
The only thing that always scared me about Desnoyers, because I had a chance to like trade for a draft pick to draft him in one of my leagues, is that there was a comparison between him and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Mm. And anytime I get a comparison of Pierre-Luc Dubois, I run the other way. Although here, Scott Wheeler says he's kind of a mix between Nico Hischier and Pierre-Luc Dubois, but leans more towards the Hischier side. So, you know, don't judge the book by its cover, I guess. All right. Word from our sponsor. Who's doing our sponsor today?
Okay, here, hold on. I'll do it. I'll do it right.
That's right. You're going to do it.
DraftKings, baby, it's back. They're a proud sponsor of THPN. Here we go. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a new customer offer. Bet player props, bet live from the opening faceoff to the final horn. Every moment matters. New DraftKings customers bet just $5, and you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. So you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $100 in bonus bets instantly. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MYRESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over in most states, void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets, which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
I mean...
What was that?
I think
I was muted
when I recorded it.
Oh no!
We were probably talking while I recorded it.
That's what happens.
You know when Vince says you talk too much?
There you go.
You could have told me.
I didn't realize that I would have caught it actually. But anyways, it doesn't matter.
It's a good thing you double listen.
I'm just really happy we don't have to say that damn audio anymore. It's so long and fast and repetitive.
For now, so we'll see. Okay, so
code
let's get
THPN,
back on track.
Guys. Code THPN for DraftKings, and you get you bet $5, you get an instant $100 in bonus bets. Can't go wrong.
Vince, do you want to
I'll go with team number five. So team number five is Nashville, who are in a type of rebuilding. No one knows right now. They're looking for a GM, if I'm not mistaken, because Trotz stepped down or got a higher position, if I read it correctly.
Is resigning or whatever. But the final stages of their GM search.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that their top five in prospects is a really good thing for them, meaning that if they want to retool or rebuild, they're already in that process. And they almost made the playoffs. So it's a really good succession for them. But in their tier one, they have Brady Martin, who they drafted in 2025, fifth overall. They have Riker Lee, a right winger from Michigan State, who they drafted 26th in the 2025 draft also. They have Igor Sorin, who is 19, drafted 22nd in 2025. Matthew Wood, who played some games in Nashville this year, picked 15 in 2023, and they have Tanner Mullendijk, a left-hand defenseman, 21 years old, drafted 24th in 2023. Cameron Reed, left-handed defenseman, 18, drafted 21st in 2025. Those are all tier one players, and if there's something in common they all have is they've all been picked 18 and later, which is unbelievable that these players are all ranked in their tier one. So, I mean, I don't know, Nick. Start with one of them.
Yeah, so the only thing is, I'm going to talk about Brady Martin. And if your league counts hits and blocks and shots, maybe Brady Martin is going to be the guy for you. But he kind of reminds me a little bit of another player that's similar to that, but is not a number one center, and that's Sam Bennett. So you have to really understand what league you're looking at and what your league values, because to me, Sam Bennett is not fantasy relevant in a points-only league, but he might be in a categories league or a roto league, right? So I just don't see a lot of fantasy relevance in Brady Martin, to be honest with you. And maybe he's going to prove me wrong. Maybe he turns into a dynamic, talented 80-point player. I just don't see that, right? I don't think that he's there. So maybe he turns into that later on. I don't know. That's my take on the number one guy on that list. Junior, you want to grab someone?
Not really. So no, Nick, I'm just kidding.
Nick, you don't think? Sorry, you don't think he'll be a number one offensive centerman?
No, I don't see it. I mean, he's crafty offensively. He can make plays, but so can a lot of second line centermen, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know if he's crafty enough. Let's just say, I think he has a well rounded game and he could really be impactful for a real NHL club. I just, for points only, I don't see it.
Junior? I want to talk a little bit about, I was going to get his name wrong, Matthew Wood. I don't know if he has any relation to Miles Wood in Columbus, but Matthew Wood was drafted 15th overall in 2023. In 71 games this year, scored 17 goals. That's an 82-game pace. That's 20 goal, over 20 goals, and he paced for 35 points. You know, we always say 40, 45 points is a good rookie year. He didn't quite get there, but he did get – he was pacing for over 20 goals, only playing 12 minutes a game. So he's looked really good because they give him time with Philip Forsberg down the stretch. They give him time with some good players like Ryan O'Reilly, played center, played wing, did a bit of everything, and – I'm very, very intrigued about Miles Wood. And according to Dauber Prospects here and their Frozen Tools, his prospect upside is 8.5 on 10. His prospect certainty is 80%. And his fantasy upside is 8.5 also on 10. So keep an eye on Matthew Wood. I think this is a good guy that you can, especially in deeper leagues, if you're making a big deal and you want to throw in a prospect that maybe not a lot of people talk about but could become like an A-plus prospect or an A prospect, Matthew Wood is a good guy to ask them if they want to throw him in the deal.
I feel like that about Cameron Reed too.
Yeah. The thing with Nashville is one of these defensemen has to hit, right? They've got Molendijk, they've got Cameron Reed. In their tier two, they have Ufko. One of these defensemen has to hit because they're kind of thinning out right now in defense. They have Josi, who's pushing 35, 36 years old. Someone needs to come and take, in French we say, la relève. So which one do you think, Cameron Reed or Molendijk, has the better opportunity or the better talent to take over that number one offensive position, Nick, on this team?
That's tough. Like Molendijk is listed as a potential number 4-5 defenseman, whereas Cameron Reed could probably play a little bit higher up the lineup. He's comparing him to Blue Jackets' Denton Matichuk. So I also pushed you guys to draft Cameron Reed in the DPR league. So I really hope he turns into a Matichuk, because then I get proven right, and you know, I got a little bit of slack when I drafted.
He's younger. He's only 18. Molendijk is 21.
Yeah, so there's a lot more room with Cameron to kind of grow into that role, right? So, I mean, we'll see. I like Reed a little bit better right now. And I think we really need to talk about Riker Lee, though, guys. I don't know, Junior, if that's who you were planning to talk about, or Surin, but these two guys are offensively gifted.
Riker Lee has an 8 on 10 fantasy upside, 5.5 NHL certainty. Let me just tell you here a little blurb of what
he's like. 5'7"
Yeah, but
that's the biggest.
So
problem.
You
that's
know
why
what that comes
so
with, right? You know what that comes with, right? Flashy, creative, and he's like a joy to watch. Because that's when you're ranked this high as a prospect and you're that small, it's because you're like ridiculously skilled, and that's exactly what Riker Lee is. But he's small. The good news, though, is that we've seen small players produce and be super relevant, especially offensively, in the NHL these days. It's a problem that's...
They're rare and far between, though. Mm-hmm. Very rare and far between.
You know what? Not as much anymore, though.
Yeah, yeah. Not as much as it used to be. Don't get me wrong. Comparing it to the 90s.
Tampa, Montreal, you got guys like Braden Point, Brandon Hagel, Cole Caulfield. These are Lane Hutson. Like, just there, you got four prime examples of small guys, super skilled, super effective, that found their way in the NHL, regardless of their size. And
none of them are 5'7", but...
Yeah, 5'7" is small. We'll see. Talent can take him down. The one thing I would ask you...
Here, he's 6 feet, by the way, according to these guys.
So who said 5'7"? You said 5'7".
Oh, I was reading on the thing... Not that long ago, he's 5'7". Now he turned into 6 feet. Oh, sorry. I didn't read the full sentence.
Distraction. But okay, so one
Edmonton
prospect,
game is really good. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I know. One, but they're going
more
to,
distracted than Edmonton than he was with Montreal.
So, Joachim Kamel, are we throwing in the white flag? Are we giving
Let's
him another
Tasso.
Year?
Listener Tasso knows what I'm talking about. Joachim Kamel? So, Kemmel's not even listed as a top.
No, he's listed as tier two. I have him, so that's what I'm asking. I'm asking when do you throw in the white towel with a guy like Kemmel? 22 years old.
25. You wait till they're 25.
Yeah, he's not even 22 yet. It's hard. He's only played 16 NHL games.
Yeah.
The clock's starting to tick, but you have to give time. You have to give time to some of these prospects. I mean, you wasted a pick on them, right? Whether it was first round or second round, you picked this guy.
Yeah.
Like, don't throw that away. The
problem Vince has is that, like, in a league like LPHL, you can't keep all of them. So he's going to have decisions to make at some point of which ones to keep. And I think that's why he's asking. But
well, if it's between Kemmel and... And, like, you have to give me an example of another guy that you're considering keeping here.
Oh, well, we'll talk. Oh, you know what? We'll make it into a routine. Sebastian Kosa.
Yeah, okay. So, right now, Kosa seems to have been doing better than Kemmel. So, you expose Kemmel.
So, why don't you talk about our number four team, Nick, on Scott Wheeler's team?
So... The number four team on Scott Wheeler's list is the Iser Plan.
Who needs better players?
Supposedly, he needs a GM to get him better players, except he doesn't realize he's the GM who gets the better players, right? His top two guys in Tier 1 are Sebastian Kosa and Trey Augustine. Great. You have two goalies in Tier 1. That's very good. They also have Sandin Pelikka, 21-year-old right-handed defenseman, number 17 in 2023. I think everybody pretty much knows who that is. He played a pretty decent amount, actually, in the NHL this year. Carter Bear is going to be a good one. He's also a Tier 1, 19-year-old left-wing player, 13th overall in 2025, so still very young. Nate Danielson, number 9 in 2023. I'm just not sure if there's fantasy relevance there. He looks more like a middle six shutdown center to me, but more defensive than offensive. I don't know if it's like a... He's going to be better than Evans, but anyways. Michael Brandsegg Nygaard. Remember that guy, Junior?
Yeah.
We loved him in 2024. We loved him. They have Emmett Finney, who actually came out of nowhere for some of us, especially me. He was drafted number 201 in 2023, and he was playing top line for the Detroit Red Wings this year. Max Plant is tier 2, but he actually just finished winning the Hobie Baker. So something to talk about there with Max Plant. There is some fantasy upside there. I'll let you guys pick the player you want to talk about out of all these players.
I'm going to go with Nygaard just because he had a unbelievable preseason this year, where I think he was leading the NHL in scoring. And then when he got his cup of tea in the NHL, then that's when things settle in and you realize that now you're playing against the real NHL players, the ones who have been in the league for 5, 6, 10 years and have experience. And he struggled a bit with playing with these players or against these players. And he played in the AHL, which I just want to bring up his numbers because they weren't bad in the AHL. But no, that's not it. So he's got a shot that is NHL ready. The problem is, will he be able to use it enough with the little amount of space that he has in the NHL? Like, he got 44 points in 60 games with Grand Rapids, 20 goals, 24 assists. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits in on this Detroit team. Like we said, Yzerman's looking for better players, so he might be one of these better players that he's talking about.
Sorry, Vince, you were talking on Nygaard?
Yes, you were speaking about
that. Yeah,
okay.
Wow, look at you, not listening.
No, I missed the name at the beginning.
It's even on intermission.
What's on intermission? I'm not even watching. The Habs are nothing. I'm going to go to Sandin Pelika.
That's a great thing to say during a fantasy hockey podcast where you're talking about all the teams. It's Habs or nothing. I don't watch anything else.
Well,
no wonder we don't get listeners and
not
viewers.
During the podcast. Oh, during the podcast, I can afford to be distracted by the Habs, but no one else. Sandin Pelika is an individually talented, competitive 5'11 defenseman. So another small player here with natural scoring instincts and the tools to execute. He has a really good edges and mobility and has shown improved speed in straight lines to pull away from chasers with more room for growth there still. So we saw him this year briefly in the NHL. He had his moments, but by the end of the season when they really needed to win, he was a healthy scratch more so than relevant. These are the growing pains of a young guy, especially a young guy who's skilled and small, joining a team that now is expected to make playoffs. So he got the short end of the stick, but I still think this is someone that you don't just give up on. He's way too talented. Do I worry that Moritz Seider has a bigger spot on that power play right now? Yes. And the reason now I'm a little bit worried because of another player in the team is because he's already in the NHL. So if this prospect wasn't yet in the NHL, I don't care about that stuff. Now I care a little bit more. So I own Sandin Pelika, and I got to keep him next year because he doesn't make a lot of money, and I'm tight against the cap. And I want to see him have an opportunity, but the odds are he might not win a spot over Moritz Seider on that power play, at least not short term.
Yeah, but power play two defensemen could still be relevant.
Could still be, yeah, exactly. But yeah.
We'll see. He had 34% of the power play last year, yeah. So we'll see if that can improve. But he's too good not to, at some point, break out and break through and find his way in offensive positions.
I'll tell you one guy who's never going to be a power play guy. And this Finney? Is fantasy relevant. Exactly. Emmett Finney. This is going to be fantasy relevant a little bit on the negative side. Because there's a lot of hype about this guy, right? Because he came out of nowhere. He played on the top line. You know, people are going to start overdrafting him in redraft leagues or in some dynasty leagues. And I think it's a guy that, you know, doesn't really have that fantasy upside points-wise. He'll never be a top power play guy. You know, he's a good Swiss Army knife for a team that needs a player in a pinch to play top line or second line. And, you know, he has a handful of goals this year. But, like, even Wheeler kind of says here that he's going to be up and down the lineup for a long time. he's never going to be, he doesn't know if he's ever going to be able to produce points in a significant way because he's never going to be a top power play guy. So for me, you guys should know that when you're going out there and wasting a first or second round pick in your dynasty league on a guy like Emmett Finney, maybe listening to this podcast, I could save you that pick and you draft him maybe in the fifth round or something like that.
Well, you and know, you could tell Nick, thank you.
You know what Emmett Finney is? He's like a Braden Bowman. No, Braden Bowman got his opportunity with Vegas this year. Everybody fell in love. They went to pick him up, sign him as a free agent, and then he fiddled off. He fizzled off.
What did he fiddle with, exactly?
I don't know, right. But he spent too much time fiddling that he couldn't keep up with
production. He ended up fizzling. He spent so much time fiddling
he fizzled and sizzled all at the same time. Oh,
the interesting thing is, how's Yzerman going to fiddle with his two goalies? Is he keeping these two young guys? Is he going to trade one of these young guys?
No, he's not trading them. Stop it.
Only you talk about this. I'm telling you, it's an interesting storyline in Detroit.
They're not. It's not interesting at all.
You still have three more years before
Augustine could even come up.
They have very similar prospects. I find Detroit, like, you could fit Carter Bear, Brancic Nygaard, Nate Danielson. I feel like you could fit them all, like, just pick one and you feel like you get the same out of them. Like, someone who could produce but not going to be elite. Someone that's like a two-way, that's going to be efficient, that's going to be an NHLer, but not necessarily elite offensive production, you know? So, yeah.
Number three, the Calgary Flames. I'm very interested.
So this is where you want to... This is where you want to be if you're a rebuilding team. You want to be 3-2 or 1 in your prospect in Wheeler's prospect pool.
Yeah. So they have Zane Parekh, which is an elite offensive forward, but has a lot of shortcoming
offensive defenseman.
That's what I meant to say. Right-handed offensive defenseman, 20 years old, drafted 9th overall in 2024. Then we have no one else in tier one. So this is where you want to be, but, you know, tier two, you have Cole Reshny. They have a lot of tier two guys, which is the reason why I think this happened. So, Cole Reshny is in tier two. Matvei Gridin is in tier two.
That's it. They only got two guys in tier two.
Oh my God. So,
they got a lot of guys in tier three.
Wheeler, you got to talk to me, man. What's going on here, Wheeler? Why do you have Calgary here? They have a lot of tier seven guys, okay?
No, there are a lot of tier three guys, but, I think it's worth talking about Zane Parekh. You know,
he's number one on that list.
I was super, super high on him. A lot of us were. I mean, when you're that skilled and that good with the puck and you're a defenseman, undoubtedly you're going to be top three in drafts, right? But don't be scared. And we're saying this a lot, I find, this episode, but don't be scared of the little blip he had this year where he couldn't really find his game with Calgary. Like, these guys, they need to adjust to the NHL. It's a different level. It's a different speed. It's a different maturity. The game, you need to be able to, the game is so fast that you need to learn how to process it differently when you reach this level. And you saw him coming around towards the end of this year. You saw his IQ. You saw when he has open space on the power play, how lethal he can be. He's got a great shot, but he's also got a great hockey IQ, especially in space. So don't give up on Zane Parekh just because of what you saw this year. It's coming, and you're going to be very impressed.
All right, let's move on.
That's it. Nobody else wants to talk. Okay, let me do number two here. The San Jose Sharks. Now, this is where you want to be.
If you're a rebuilding team.
So, in tier one, we have one player. Michael Misa, 19 years old. Like, center,
we honestly have to talk to Wheeler and see. I don't know. Nashua
one
had
player in tier
seven
one,
players
player
in tier
two.
One.
Anyhow, so they have one player in tier one, Michael Misa, and they have one player in tier two, which is Sam Dickinson. Vince, tell us about Michael Misa and why we did good drafting him over Matthew Schaefer.
Right now, it doesn't seem like we did good drafting him over Matthew Schaefer. But he has exceptional status. He drew headlines in the OHL.
Exceptional.
I gotta make it seem like we made. I gotta make it seem like we picked the right player, Nick. We did pick Misa over Schaefer. Just
yeah,
like
it's
that's sink in after this year. But he's a young player. He's got talent. The problem is he gonna be a centerman or a winger in the NHL? He got his feet wet this year with San Jose. San Jose did really well. When you're playing with great players like Celebrini, at some point we'll see. I think next year is going to be the year where we're gonna really see if he can hit that 50 to 60 point rookie that we want from rookies. But it's very hard for me. So I'm not gonna lie. Like, you guys have to be a little bit discouraged of his season. No, weren't we expecting a little more from Misa?
I think he picked it up in the end. And it was very encouraging at the end because he started putting the puck in the net more. He started playing a lot better at the end of the year. Don't forget, this kid's 19 years old. We can't expect every 19-year-old to come out here and be a gangbuster right off the bat, right?
A what?
A gangbuster.
Something like you said, gangbuster.
I think I did. It's late. It's late. But like, I'm looking at... I'm upset right now, Wheeler. Like Ravensbergen at tier 3, Chernyshov in tier 3. Like, I don't. How does Nashville have 7 guys and they're all third liners? And here you have guys that potentially could be top sixers, and they're only in tier 3. You know,
it's probably because of the certainty. Maybe he feels there's more certainty on those players of Nashville to be NHLers than the certainty of the players like. Ravensbergen or whatever. But just to touch back on Michael Misa, he got hurt also this year. He still was pacing for 38 points. He's on a team that like is so focused on Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini that you kind of turn, you know, you don't pay as much attention to him. But the reality is this kid's phenomenal. Like, it's just a matter of time before he shows why he was the second overall pick. And he, like you said, he showed flashes of that down the stretch. He still has a prospect upside of 9.5 on 10, prospect certainty of 90%. In fact, his fantasy upside is 9.5 on 10, according to Dauber Prospects. So, guys, don't let up on Michael Misa. He's the real deal. He's going to come around. And by the time it's all said and done, him and Schaefer will be at equal level. I'm telling you.
All right, let's move on to
Nick,
the number one team.
Nick, I know you're upset. I don't know if you're the guy to read that number one team because you're already upset with Wheeler. You're not going to like this number one team. Go ahead, Nick.
Chicago Blackhawks is the number one team.
They don't have a tier one player.
They only have one tier one player. Yeah. And that is Anton Frundell. Which I'm very happy about, actually, because I do own him and I traded away Sebastian Aho to get Frundell in a package with other guys as well. Frundell is a top sixer for sure, I think. Probably a top-line player. Played amazing in the World Juniors, helping Sweden to a gold medal. I'm telling you guys, Sweden has some up-and-coming players, even this year with Stenberg and Bjork and Gurbrandsen. Like, they have a lot of good guys coming up, even in this draft this year. Frundell is one of those quality guys. He's played against men for a long time. Coming over to the NHL this year, he had a stint near the end of the year with Chicago. It doesn't have the most pace, but his playmaking is high end. Excellent top six player, great shooting, and he could play two ways. So, to me, if Frundell turns into Bedard's left winger for the next decade, this is a huge win for me. Because if that could be it, that's exactly what I want to say. There's also Kantsarov, who's a tier two guy. I don't know if you guys want to talk about
one guy who, Well, we're going to talk about him because he's going to be a guy who's going to get drafted. If
he's like, already drafted.
Unless you're... No, in Lamba, yes, but LPHL, he's not drafted.
Oh, you're talking about fantasy. In fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, fantasy.
If
yeah,
nobody heard
fantasy.
Of him before...
Yeah, they definitely heard of him this year because he ripped it apart in the KHL. 63 games, 64 points, 36 goals, 28 assists, 11 games played in the playoffs, 5 points. It's going to be interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about him, but I feel this could be like a little trap game where...
He's 5'9".
Yeah, but it could be a little trap game where... He's there and people are like, oh my God, look at the points he's putting up, and he's going to play with a Bedard or he's going to play with a Nazar, and you're like overhyping it, and then he comes here and he's going to be a third liner, a winger who scores 20 goals. So I don't know. He'll be an interesting storyline next year for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Doesn't he remind you a bit of Nick Lardis?
I was like, going to say.
Nick Lardis
the same
is
player.
5'11". He also went off in 2024, 2025. He had 117 points in 65 games with Brantford Bulldogs.
OHL, and, Nick, OHL.
In the OHL, you know. And then, but you know what? He kind of sustained that because he was a point per game player with Rockford this year in the AHL. Got a sniff, played 41 games this year in the NHL, 15 points in 41 games. But when he was put with Bedard there for a little while, they kind of had good chemistry. He kind of produced, and then he fiddled, sizzled, whizzled, whatever it is to say. But
the problem is...
There's going to be ups and downs with Kancerov. I feel like they're the same type of player. I'm not sure if I want to believe the hype at it, what it is now. I think it's somewhere in between.
Okay, so here Wheeler ends it really well. And the thing is where we should end it as well. Is that the Blackhawks actually have an abundance of these 5'9", 5'10" players. And chances are is that only one of them is going to make it. Because you can't have a full lineup of 5'9" players. So, you know, is it going to be Nick Lardis? Is it going to be Kantsarov, right? Like, Nazar is... How tall is Nazar? I think he's pretty small as well, right?
Nazar, yeah, he was... he's in that range.
Oliver Moore is 5'11".
5'10".
Yeah.
Right? So Oliver Moore is 5'11". Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Chicago. I want to move on, guys, if we can, to speak a little bit about our playoff pool before we close it for the day. How does that sound?
You go, Nick. Just don't mention my feet.
That's the fantasy lens, bro.
Well, technically, this was fantasy lens in a way, right? Because we started the top 10. Okay, shut up. Where's the other one? I don't have it. You have it.
I know. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it.
Didn't we take it out?
Good podcasting. No, we didn't take it out.
There we go.
Yes, that is our anthem for the Battle Royale Fantasy Hockey Playoff Pool, where this year we had 12 plus 14 is 26 contestants. Is that correct, Nick?
That is correct, sir. One was doubled, actually, so it's 25.
25 plus one. So we divided that into two divisions, one of 14 teams and one of 12 teams. The top half, so the top seven of the 14-team league will make it to the next round, and the top six of the 12-team league will take us to the next round, creating one group for the next round, one draft, which will be a lot easier to manage and to analyze. Right, Nick?
Correct, sir.
Okay, so let's take a look at Group A here. We have Tamerms in first place with 69.8 points. He's got a healthy, healthy lead on second place. Where's my Truba, who has 51.6 points? And Mike is in third with 48. Co-host Nick in fourth place, I should add, 0.1 points behind Mike. and a small 2.5 points above the threshold, which is seventh place there. So it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight for you there, Nick. I'm going to go to Group A, Division B here.
Guys, I just want to mention Christian Dvorak. He's actually been pretty decent for me.
Christian Dvorak has been
your guy, Nick.
Has 3.7 points so far. Not your best player, but not your worst either. In fact, Tyson Forrester, his teammate, is your worst player.
That's right.
All right, so back to Division A where Vince and I are. Anthony Caporelli is in first place with 59.5 points. Guides 13 with 55.9. And listener Dan at 49.5. I, like Nick, sit in fourth with 49 points. I'm just 3 points ahead here, 3.1 points ahead of the seventh spot. Vince, you find yourself in last year. Let's start with you. What happened? Where do you think you went wrong? Is it all about the auto draft?
Where I went wrong was I had to go to Toronto the next day, and I started drafting. So I drafted McCarm.
We know. We saw your first two picks. We said that's not auto draft.
So I
that's
drafted
Vince.
There, and then we went with Braden Point because I knew it was going to be a long series in Montreal, and Hyman because he's a playoff performer. And after that, I put my phone down because I had to pack my luggage or pack my bag. And all of a sudden, Anthony Manta showed up on my team. And that's when I threw my phone and said, I'm done. That's exactly
actually Manta. Manta was actually a really good player at the end of the year for Pittsburgh.
Let me tell you what he has now, Nick. Four games played, 0-0-0-0.
No, he has zero shots on. Okay, yes, five shots. He's almost as good as Parker Kelly and Tyson Forrester for me.
So, Vince, what happened
is your top guys haven't produced like top guys, and Makar now swept the King, so he's not playing anymore, and he only had I think 2 points total.
I think the worst thing that can happen to you is having a Carolina player or Colorado player right now.
Like I lost two players. I lost Laferriere who gave me 4 assists and 15 shots on goal, and Kale Makar who gave me 2 goals and 12 shots on goal and 1 game-winning goal. So I mean we're aiming to try to catch up to number 6, but like I said, I would need some of my players like Hurdle, Kreider, Hyman. Hopefully these series all go into 6-7 games and don't end early. But, I mean, we'll see. It is what it is.
I want to touch on Tim Erm's team just because he's got the most points by a mile on anybody else in both divisions, 69.8 points. And I think it's because Division A really is the weakest division that made him draft all these guys. I'm just kidding. But let's take a quick look at his team here.
But he's in Division B.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting them confused because it's at the top. So I thought it was A. So Division, Tim Erm's, Zach Benson, Sidney Crosby, Joel Eriksson Ek, Brandon Hagel, Taylor Hall, Nathan MacKinnon, Logan Stankoven, Jake Sanderson, and Mikhail Sergachev.
Yeah, but now he just lost 3 players.
Yeah, but he's got double-digit lead on second place, He's got probably the most productive player in Brandon Hagel.
Hagel and Hall are extremely. Stankoven was so productive; it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Stankoven in 4 games was very productive.
And he had an injured Sanderson. Imagine.
Hagel's like the only person scoring in freaking Tampa.
6 goals, 1 assist. Insane. Crazy.
Insane.
Even Eriksson Ek has been pretty productive. I mean, he knocked it out of the park with his picks. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he went a lot of centers. Yeah. Hagel and Hall aren't.
Sergachev is his worst player. 3 games played, only 2 shots on goal, no points to show.
Yeah. I hope I make it to the second round. This has been a lot of fun so far.
So I just want to advise if people are actually listening to this podcast, but when there's sweeps, especially when there's more than one, a lot of times what happens is the second round might start before the first round ends. And this happened to us last year, and basically what we do is we draft when we know every single matchup, even if that means that a game of the second round has already been played. And it's to your discretion if you want to draft a player that has those points and you gain those points. But, you know, that's, I guess, that's going to be your choice when you're the, you get the number one pick of the second draft. So it, if you finish, it's going to be by most points. So we'll take the top half of both divisions and we're going to rank them from most points to least points. And that'll be the draft order. Am I right, Nick?
Vince? That's correct.
Okay. So if that is the case and there's a player that has already accumulated points in the second round, he will still be available to draft. You will be able to earn those points right away. But again, it'll be to your discretion. Is it a one-off? Is it not? Well, you know, do you draft that player who has multiple points over maybe the best player available? You know, those are all things that come into play. But we think that's the fairest way to go about it.
I agree.
That's it, guys. That's it.
Vince?
We're done.
Wow, that is it.
Vince.
Yeah.
Joke of the day.
Yeah. What?
Joke of the day.
Something with fiddling.
Okay, well,
sizzling.
I'm going to tell you the one I did. Well, now it doesn't look that good, but the Edmonton Oilers starting Tristan Jarry is like you taking a shit in your pants and changing your shirt.
Tristan Jarry has a shutout 14 Tristan, minutes left in the second period.
Starting Tristan Jarry over Connor Ingram is the joke,
over Connor Ingram. Yeah, exactly.
Alright guys, it was good to be back, man. Do this again next week.
If we're still alive. If we're still here.
If we haven't been back.
Wow, where are you planning on going to war or something?
We might get cancelled after this episode.
So bitter, Nick.
Just a little bit of Schitt's Creek, that's all.
Have a good night.
Good night, peeps.